Precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Well, firefighters protest being forced into homosexual parade. Now, can you imagine that? Providence, Rhode Island, firefighters were forced to ride in gay pride parade last year, despite their religious objections. This year, they're threatening to sue the city unless officials make participation in future parades voluntary. During that time, Mayor Vincent will be the grand marshal of the homosexual parade. Can you believe that? When our society, when our country allows this abomination to be so blatantly open, we're on the verge of another Sodom and Gomorrah, folks. That's exactly right. And if you think that's bad, you should hear this other news regarding pediatricians supporting gay adoption from RNS. The American Academy of Pediatricians has angered conservatives by agreeing to support the right of gay men and lesbians to legally adopt their partner's children. The policy statement detailed in the journal Pediatrics says, children in gay families will enjoy greater financial legal protection if they are adopted by both partners. Denying legal parent status through adoption prevents these children from enjoying the psychological and legal security that comes from having two willing, capable, and loving parents, policy says. Well, that's the oxymoron of the whole thing here. First of all, they might be willing, but they ain't capable. for others. They are not capable. Amen. Loving parents, that is a complete oxymoron. You cannot have a parental relationship with children unless there's a mother and father, not two of the same sex. I mean, that is absurd. That is absolutely absurd. Specifically, the AAP statement says dual partner adoption would ensure that custody rights would be guaranteed if one parent dies or falls ill, protect visitation rights and child support if the parents separate, ensure the child's access to health benefits and entitlements such as Social Security, and allow both parents to make important medical decisions for the child. Currently, seven states and the District of Columbia explicitly allow gay adoption, while three states, Utah, Mississippi, and Florida, effectively ban the practice. Other states handle the issue in various ways. Often when one partner adopts a child or gives birth to the child, the other partner has little or no legal rights in the parent-child relationship. In many ways, the AAP endorsement serves as a sort of cultural barometer as society continues to wrestle with the proper role for gays and lesbians. Well, let me tell you, there is no proper role for them. They're under the judgment of God, folks. Gay rights advocates say that the widely respected group's stamp of approval will provide a measure of legitimacy in courts and legislatures. The truth is that lesbian gay parents are as good as raising children as anyone else, said Patricia M. Lagu, senior counsel for the Lambda Legal Defense and Education Fund. Well, she has really gone bananas when she can say something like that. And their children have the same need for security that all children have. I admit that it's a terrible thing for children to be adopted in such an abominable situation as that. But you know, sin begets sin. But conservative groups call the decision hazardous, saying the network of 55,000 pediatricians have been hijacked by gay groups who want to redefine the traditional meaning of family. I agree with that assessment there. It seems clear that the American Academy of Pediatrics has submitted to the will of homosexual activists within its ranks. That is true. At the expense of scientific honesty and the very children it seeks to serve, said William J. Mayer, a psychologist at the conservative organization. Now, folks, this whole thing about gay rights and all of this nonsense going on in our country, we have opened a hornet's nest. There was a time when they were in the closet. We should have kept them in the closet. They do not have rights to openly and frankly push their wicked agenda down the throats of our children, our society, and everywhere else in the world. This is preposterous. This is not only against nature, this is against common sense, and everybody knows that any time sodomy has allowed to reign in the country that it was allowed to reign in was spiritually decapitated. It was destroyed by Almighty God. Can you believe it? That these pediatricians, I tell you, it's just incredible. Where our society has gone. And now our doctors are tolerating this sodomy and they're backing it up. Folks, listen, we're going straight to hell as a country. We really are. Let's consider some Bible verses pertaining to this thing. You'll say, oh, well, you're not loving and you don't care about people. Well, that's a farthest from the truth. This man right here loves all sinners, no matter what they are, what they've done. The fact of the matter is that God is angry with the wicked every day, and it's God who you're going to have to face, not me. You're going to have to face Him one day. You need to see your sinful condition, and if you do not acknowledge your sinful condition, there will be no hope for you, I'm afraid. So this is just reality. We're not going to tolerate sin, folks. We have to call a spade a spade. Notice here in Genesis chapter 13, verse 13, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." Genesis chapter 19, verse 24, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven." Now that's what the Lord thinks about sodomy. He said that they were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. They were not just ordinary sinners, but they were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That this sin of sodomy, homosexuality, whatever you want to call it, exceeds as far as reproach far more than all other sin. It exceeds it. And the Bible says that their sin is very grievous. And the Bible said that He had rained judgment upon the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't tolerate them. He didn't give them their so-called rights. God was very, very judgmental. You say, well, God didn't love them. Well, God gave them space to repent, and they chose not to repent. God is a merciful God. God is a gracious God. But there's a limit to His grace. And I call each one here in this broadcast, if you know someone that is involved in sodomy, you ought to beg them to flee from that. Flee from it and turn to the living God for forgiveness. If you are a sodomite listening to this broadcast, I do not hate you, but I'll tell you one thing. I beg of you to repent before it's too late. And for some, it's already too late. Genesis chapter 19, verse 28, "And He looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace." Folks, is America in danger of the judgment of God because we as a society and as also our governmental institutions and now our medical institutions and our educational institutions are tolerating and in some cases even promoting this kind of perverted lifestyle? Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22 says in the Bible, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind." It is an abomination. What the word abomination means, something that is deeply repugnant to God, deeply hated by God. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." So the offense of sodomy, the offense, the sin, the crime of sodomy, of homosexuality, according to the Bible, deserves capital punishment. It's the government's responsibility, the Bible says, to put away the evildoer. It's not my responsibility, it's the government's responsibility. Well, I want them to be saved. I want them to be saved, but they're going to have to realize their sinful condition. They're sinners just like everybody else. They're just as sinful as adulterers and fornicators and liars and murderers. They're sinful just like all of them. But this particular sin, the Bible says, is a very grievous one, and it's a very exceedingly sinful one, which causes a great curse to arise upon our country. So are you going to tolerate this? If you do, you will not be guiltless. You are provoking the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to jealousy over this land which once was a God-fearing land. What's happening now, folks? What is happening? The Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17, there shall be no horror of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 29, 23, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 12, shows here the responsibility of those who are rulers, our president, our government. And it used to be in the judicial code of law, the penal code, that sodomy was a crime. I believe in some cities it's still a crime. Well, anyhow, and he took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. So you see, the way you deal with this kind of sin is you remove the sodomites out of our land. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 7, and break down the houses of the sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. So, number one, the Bible says that sodomy is a capital crime, deserves capital punishment. According to the Bible, sodomy and the sodomites are to be removed out of the land. Number three, according to the Bible now, they were to break down the houses of the sodomites, the homosexuals. Break their houses down, remove them out of the land, and bring capital punishment as a punishment worthy of death according to the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean you go out there and you start taking the law in your own hands. This is the government's responsibility, but we can affect government by writing to our senators, by writing to our government officials, by writing to the president, by demanding that we do not tolerate, by writing to the judicial system, to the Supreme Court. And they need to get back to the biblical mandate against this wickedness. Yes, for the sake of our country. For the sake of our country. Now, if these sodomites would repent of their sin, then God would have mercy upon them. But it appears that sodomy is on a rampage, and our society is condoning it. A news item in the front page of the USA Today had this article, "For Rosie, coming out is merely about what's right. O'Donnell adopts, of course, the right of gay people to adopt children." O'Donnell's revelation comes as she is about to quit her TV show and start a new life much more out of the public eye. So even the celebrities are coming out of the closet. They feel at more liberty to display their perverted lifestyle. What kind of effect is this having on our youth? If the celebrities now are bold and without shame and do not blush at their wickedness, it's no wonder that the students and have no problem with what's going on. In this article, it said that, according to this fella, that the readers wouldn't have been fazed by what is being done here, by what Rosie is now admitting. Actually, I guess it was an open secret for years. Now she's publicly admitting it. But he said, "I think kids today are more sophisticated than people think, more so than their parents. I would think her younger fans would hear the news and say, oh, big deal." Well, yeah, they're very sophisticated, all right. They are dumb and been deceived, and their parents are to blame for not sending an example and teaching a moral fiber in their family. Oh, my soul, what are we coming to in America? And you wonder why there's such an increase in earthquakes and why there's an increase in disease and why there are wildfires raging in our land. Because the curse of God is coming upon this country very, very rapidly, and we are doing nothing about it. We are sitting and allowing all this to happen. Virginia station pulls gay theme episode. An ABC affiliate in Lynchburg, Virginia refused to air a episode of Once and Again because it showed a 14-year-old girl kissing another teen girl. This is the first time a station has refused to air a gay-themed network show since 1997, when ABC's Birmingham, Alabama affiliate pulled the coming-out episode of Ellen. This reporting is today. Well, at least somebody has some guts to stand for what's right, but that's in the minority. Yes, indeed. Well, Governor Ventura's proclamations promote homosexuals but prohibit prayers. I'll tell you one thing, I'm so glad he didn't come up for re-election. According to Washington, BP, Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura insulted, quote, the deeply held beliefs of millions of Minnesotans when he recently proclaimed June as this year as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender Pride Celebration Month, and at the same time refuse once again to issue a proclamation noting May 2nd as a national day of prayer, according to the Minnesota Family Council. Once again, Governor Ventura had thumbed his nose at millions of Minnesotans with his celebration of homosexuality, bisexuality, transgenderism, while refusing to acknowledge the important role prayer and faith play in our society, said Tom Pritchard, president of Minnesota Family Council. It boggles the mind why he continues his refusal to acknowledge the role religion and prayer play in our national heritage while actually celebrating sexual behaviors such as homosexuality and so forth, which involves men dressing as women. This Pritchard fellow added that this is the second time Ventura had rejected the idea for a day of prayer. Well, when you elect a wrestler for your governor, what do you expect? I mean, obviously, hiring a professional wrestler, and which only promotes violence anyhow, what do you expect out of people like this? Now, this is outrageous. Homosexual group target schools. If we don't rise up against this stuff, they're going to get into the schools. And they are. They're targeting the schools. Washington, school kids across America may have had their first encounter with homosexuality. There were little parents or teachers could do to stop it from happening. CNS News reported. The Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, GLSEN, homosexual advocacy group, asked students nationwide to take a 9-hour vow of silence to recognize and protest the circumstances facing homosexual students. Can you believe that? Instead of speaking up in class, students ranging from sixth grade to college level were expected to distribute information cards, sport stickers, and wear T-shirts that promote a pro-homosexuality message. What about that? I didn't hear that in the major networks. No, did you? I didn't hear that. Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. What are we going to do? What are we going to do, folks? The Bible condemns this kind of activity. The Bible says in Lamentations 4:6, for the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people, and I would apply this to the United States of America now, is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom that was overthrown as in a moment, and no hands stayed on her. You say, what does this have to do This thing is bothering me so much, I am choking on this. I feel like vomiting because of the incredible wickedness of all of this. You say, why is this a big deal? Why am I even bringing this up? What does this have to do with Israel? Well, so goes America, so goes Israel. You know, we have these gay pride things going on, and we tolerate in our society. It ought to be condemned, but it's being promoted. Well, guess what's happening in Israel? They have the same thing going on. Against all odds, the Jerusalem Report had a whole page report on this thing. There are very few things Jerusalem has not seen in its 3,000 years. A gay parade was one of those. Until this month, when Israel's ultimate sanctity of conservatism greeted one with surprising indifference. And they said that there were just thousands of them. They said, according to police estimates, some 4,000 people took part in the parade. Although it looked at times as if 3,000 of them were news photographers. And truly, you know, what's so amazing is that there's not as many sodomites as you think there really are, or that they would make you to believe. What happens is that people who are tolerating them come and help them out and support what they're doing. It makes it appear there's a lot more. I think one figure I read one time said that less than 1% of all Americans claim to be sodomites. But you see, they pack a lot of political clout, and sodomy is growing rapidly. I read that some maybe 10 years ago. I don't know where it is now, but sodomy is no longer in the closet, folks. It's being promoted. More and more people, and younger they are getting involved in it. And in public schools, they're teaching it as an alternate lifestyle. So it's no wonder we're going to see a rise, and God will judge us for it. Folks, we must repent, if it's not already too late. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, and I'm so glad that you can be with us during this portion of the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. And once again, we're looking to cover this story written many, many years ago about Charlie Colson, the drummer boy, a Christian hero of the American War, with a brief sketch of the author's conversion, or From the Synagogue to the Cross. Dr. M.L. Rosfeld, Jewish surgeon in the United States Army. And what a great story indeed. A great testimony of a noted Jewish surgeon who searched for the truth about the Messiahship of Jesus, whether or not he was the Messiah, and he could not find rest for his soul until he got the answer. One day he did, years after he had amputated Charlie Colson's leg and arm, and witnessed the great faith of the great display of faith that that Bible-believing Christian boy displayed as he went home to be with the Lord Jesus. And that left an impression upon his mind that lasted for years until several years later, God, in His mercy, sent others to testify of the wonderful grace of God. And Dr. Rosfeld was brought under deep conviction of sin, realizing that without the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be no hope of eternal life. And since then, his dear wife had received the Lord, and she went on to be with the Lord. She had died. And so from that point, we continue the story of Dr. M.L. Rosfeld and his testimony of being born again. He says, referring to his wife that's just gone on to be with the Lord, "She who from infancy had been taught to hate the name of Jesus had by grace learned to value that name above every name, as the one who so recently had saved her precious soul, made and kept her happy during the last trying months, and in our presence had given her a triumphant exodus from this world of sin and sorrow into the everlasting habitations prepared for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the redeemed, whether Jew or Gentile. The manner of her homegoing I have sought to describe in the following poem. O glorious hour, I'm going home. The gates are ajar for me. The angels' wings are rustling near. Their forms I almost see. The shadows of that sinless throng are falling over me. Savior, loving Savior, I come to Thee. I'm coming, coming now to Thee. I'm coming, blessed Savior, coming now to Thee. What though this temple's slow decays, and pain is hard to bear? I have a home not made with hands, eternal over there. Thy blood alone hath purchased it. Those mansions bright and free, Jesus, loving Jesus. O glorious hour, the gates of pearl are open wide, I'm free. The angel songs are ringing clear, praise God with me. My work is done, I'm going home, sinless soon I'll be. Savior, loving Savior, I come to Thee. My son would not come to the funeral, nor, so far as I have known, has he ever visited his mother's grave, neither has he called me father, nor answered any letter of mine since my conversion, although I have three times crossed the Atlantic from America to Germany, trying to see him and be reconciled, but have failed in every instance, for he would not see me. This, however, has only called forth more fervent prayer on his behalf, that he also may be freed from all of the onslaught of Jewish prejudice, and in Jesus, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29. A fourth visit to Germany in July 1887 has strengthened and confirmed my faith, for my son not only consented to see me, but he shed bitter tears on a remembrance of the past, and at once declared his determination to see his dear sister in America. I wrote to my mother, who resided in Germany, immediately after my conversion, recounting to her how I had found the true Messiah. I could not keep the good news from her, and in my heart thought she would believe me, the eldest of her 14 children. Indeed, I may say that the first desire of my heart after my conversion was that all my friends, Jew as well as Gentile, should have the same with me in my newfound joy. I felt like the psalmist when he wrote, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." This hope, so far as my mother was concerned, was destined to be bitterly disappointed, for she wrote me but one letter, if a curse can be called a letter. Prolonged silence at last awakening within me a suspicion that if she did write at all, it would be to send me that curse which every Jew must expect from his nearest relations when he embraces Christianity. This suspicion was only too fully confirmed after a lapse of 5 months and a half, during which time I was in suspense, for previous to my conversion, my mother had written to me once a month. One morning when the postman brought me my letters, I saw amongst them one bearing the German postmark, and in the old familiar handwriting of my dear mother. As soon as I saw it, I said to my wife, who was in the room, "Wife, it has come at last." Needless to say, I opened the letter first. There was no heading to it, no date, no "my dear son," as all her former letters to me began, but it read as follows: "Max, you are no longer my son. We have buried you. We mourn you as one dead. And now may the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob strike you blind, deaf, and dumb, and damn your soul forever. You have left your father's religion and the synagogue for that Jesus, the impostor. And now take your mother's curse, Clara. Although I had but this time fully counted what it would cost me in embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and knew what I had to expect from my relatives because I had turned my back on the synagogue, I confess I was hardly prepared for such a letter from my mother. My dear wife and I could now, however, more fully sympathize with her in our newfound life. For as stated before, our parents had already cursed her to her face for believing in Christ. It was not all sadness, however, for never before did the psalmist's words seem so full of meaning and encouragement both to my wife and myself. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Let not anyone think that it is an easy thing for a Jew to become a Christian. He must be prepared to forsake father, mother, and wife for the kingdom of God's sake. For the considerations which appealed alike to his affections and to his self-interest are brought to bear upon every Jew who is suspected of looking with favor towards Christianity. Yet such persecution only led me more and more to value the words of my newly found master. Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. I answered my mother's letter a few days later in the following words. Answer to my mother's curse. Far away from home, my mother, daily I will pray for thee. Why should I be cursed, my mother? Why such message sent to me? Once convinced of sin, my mother, I cried, Jesus, set me free. I am happy now, my mother. Christ the Jew has died for me. Him you taught me to hate, mother. Him you still, impostor, call. Died for me on Calvary, mother. Died to save me from the fall. Let me lead you to him, mother. While I pray on bended knee, Jesus, now accept my mother, O Lord Jesus, make her free. Be persuaded, dearest mother, do not now so hardened be. Jesus Christ, the Jew's Messiah, surely died for you and me. Can you spurn such mercy, mother? Can you turn away your face? Come to Jesus. Come, dear mother. Fly, oh fly, to his embrace. Although she never wrote to me afterwards, I was told the last word she uttered when life was ebbing away was my own name, Max. And who can tell but in the last moments the sad memory of her curse and the soul craving, unsatisfiable by Judaism, may have led her to find the God-provided Lamb in the true Messiah, Jesus. The sequel to Charlie Colson remains to be told. About 18 months after my conversion, I attended a prayer meeting one evening in the city of Brooklyn. It was one of those meetings when Christians testified to the loving kindness of their Savior. After several of them had spoken, an elderly lady arose and said, "Dear friends, this may be the last time it is my privilege to testify for Christ. My family physician told me yesterday that my right lung is very nearly gone, and my left lung is very much affected. So at the best, I have but a short time to be with you, but what is left of me belongs to Jesus. Oh, it is a great joy to know that I shall meet my boy with Jesus in heaven. My son was not only a soldier for his country, but a soldier for Christ. He was wounded at the Battle of Gettysburg and fell into the hands of a Jewish doctor who amputated his arm and leg. But he died 5 days after the operation. The chaplain of the regiment wrote me a letter and sent my boy's Bible. In that letter, I was informed that my Charlie, in his dying hour, sent for that Jewish doctor and said to him, "Doctor, before I die, I wish to tell you that 5 days ago, while you amputated my arm and leg, I prayed the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. When I heard this lady's testimony, I could sit still no longer. I left my seat, crossed the room, and taking her by the hand, said, 'God bless you, my dear sister. Your boy's prayer has been heard and answered. I am the Jewish doctor for whom your Charlie prayed, and his Savior is now my Savior.' A heavenly fervor spread over the meeting at the affecting sight of a Jew and Gentile being made one in Christ Jesus, and realized his wondrous power in enabling the dying drummer boy to manifest the spirit of his master in praying for the enemies of the cross, in the wonderful answer to the dying lad's prayer, and in the glorious prospect of reunion of the great ransom multitude, which no man can number out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And there among the saved at last, forever blessed and glad, the mother dear and doctor saved shall meet the drummer lad.'" Writing in October 1887, the doctor says, "It is with great joy and thankfulness of heart that I record a conversion of my dear son. I firmly believe that the dear Savior had been troubling his heart for some time prior to our meeting in July 1887. For the first time in 14 years, he called me father. He wept bitterly at our meeting, and it seemed his soul's desire was to see his sister again. My heart leaped with joy to hear this, for I knew with his sister, a devoted Christian in America, he would be in good hands. After traveling with myself and some friends for several days in Germany, during which time he conversed freely with me about his mother, regretting that he had refused to see her before her death, and expressing a desire to see her in heaven, he left for America, where he met his sister on Monday afternoon, August the 15th. That meeting can be better imagined than described, for they had not before for nearly 14 years. On the following Friday, my son begged his sister to accompany him to their mother's grave. My daughter wrote me that same night that her brother's heart nearly broke while standing at his mother's grave, and she concluded her letter, 'Dear Father, I thank God my brother is under deep conviction of sin. He fully realizes how he has neglected his duty in the past towards his father, mother, and sister. I'm constantly praying for him. So is my husband, and many Christian friends here are praying for his conversion.' On Friday, August the 19th, he again visited his mother's grave, but this time alone. And while there, God in his mercy for Christ's sake pardoned his sins and converted his soul. Converted his soul! He went home, told his sister the good news, and then wrote to me that same night. Unknown to her brother, my daughter also wrote to me, and both letters reached me by the same post, making that day to me indeed a day of good things, good tidings of good things, and granting me some recompense for the many years of sorrow I had endured, causing me to exclaim with our psalmist, 'Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.' And now in conclusion, I pray that God may spare my life, that I may be permitted to hear my only son preach the gospel of that dear Savior whom he had so long rejected, but who is now his all in all. For in his last letter, he informs me that he is now preparing himself for evangelistic work. Writing on September 13, 1892, Dr. Ross Valley says, "In regard to my son, I can tell you this. He is devoting his whole time to the Lord's work. He has no church of his own, as he prefers to do evangelistic work. He is engaged in the same way that I was a few years ago before my health was so impaired. That is, going from place to place, helping poor, struggling churches and missions. I am thankful to say that the Lord has abundantly blessed his labors. He also publishes my tracts for free distribution in America." Shortly after his conversion to God, Dr. Ross Valley resigned his commission in the United States Army and opened a mission for the conversion of his Jewish brethren. He met with much opposition at first, but persevered, and finally had the joy of seeing quite a number, rich and poor, old and young, Jews, exclaim with one of old, "We have found the Messias, the Mashiach," which is being interpreted the Christ. He afterwards made a prolonged evangelistic tour and visited many cities in Europe, America, Canada, Germany, and many other lands, preaching the glad tidings of a free and full salvation in his forceful way to large audiences. His ministry being owned of God in leading not a few Gentiles as well as Jews out of darkness into light and from the power of Satan unto God. A few years of happy service, a few months of severe suffering, and M.L. Ross Valley was called to the higher service of heaven in October 1892. He being dead yet speaketh. For several millions of Charlie Colson, the drummer boy, and some of his other tracks have been scattered over America, Britain, India, Australia, New Zealand, France, Germany, Switzerland, Russia, and other lands, leading many to know him whom to know is life everlasting. Well, you've heard the true story of Charlie Colson and the brief sketch of the conversion of the Jewish surgeon, Dr. M.L. Ross Valley. I hope, as his prayer surely was, and my prayer is today, that if you are Jewish or Gentile listening to this program and this great testimony, you too can know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and receive the free gift, the free pardon for your sins, and the free gift of eternal life. But you must come by faith. You must repent of your sins, confess and forsake, and God shall have mercy. He loves you with an everlasting love. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come before it's too late?
Keep his covenant and show his mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.